This is Robbie from the Big Pink.
This is Zan from the Big Pink.
My name is Milo Cordell of the Big Pink from London, England.
You see, now he added value. So I want each of you to tell me something about the band. And by the way, you have an opportunity to completely lie here.
I'm going to tell the truth. We've had one top 10 single that no one knows about. That was in the Irish charts. Yeah, you will not find that on Wikipedia. That's for Domino's, and that was in Dublin, yeah, in Ireland. I mean,
you're either written up as a duo or a band.
I guess because when we first started, the kind of playing live came afterwards. So we kind of presented it was just me and him. When we write music, it's just the two of us. You can't recreate what we do in the studio in a kind of fun, interesting way with only two people. You know, we need more hands on deck.
One of the things that's interesting about the way you've been talking about this new record, and even about Superman, is that there's a reverse order for you, and you almost wish that you could reverse the way this all happened, to a certain extent.
In the way that we said that this, our first record was our difficult second album, this was our...
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting perspective to say that your first record could have been your sophomore record, right?
Yeah, because, I think it's like on a kind of your debut records are more of your kind of mission statement, and then your kind of the second record is you know, it should be kind of maybe a bit darker with one massive song in it, and I think that's kind of what.
But that's very rock and roll of you to say mission statement.
Well, you know, I think this record does have a kind of much more. It's not so kind of inner looking. It is much more of a kind of statement of intent.
Right. And the other thing that is kind of interesting is, and I've talked to multiple bands that worked with Rich Kosky. So here we are, new band coming out of the box, self-produced record, and we say, okay, we'll record at Electric Lady. We're not going to go to some little small place in Sheffield or in Brighton or in Manchester or whatever. No, we're going to go to New York. And we're going to do our first record at Electric Lady, right?
Yeah, we're big Hendrix fans. It made sense.
Is it true, and again, I'm going down the rumor mill here, did you also talk to or pitch Dave Fridman and some other people?
Yeah, before this record, we knew that we wanted to have a producer on board, so we kind of met a few people, and he was one of the guys, and he was amazing character and, you know, obviously super. Well, we just got a bit paranoid about being... We suddenly got really homesick because we kind of figured that we'd been on the road for, you know, a year and a half or however long it was. And then the idea of going somewhere kind of in the middle of nowhere in America for another month, 6 weeks, whatever, just seemed to us a tiny bit scary. We just wanted to do it at home. We wanted to be in England.
Paul Epworth, really neat choice.
Yeah, I think he knew... he knew us, and I think he knew where we wanted to take this record, and I think he took our sound and sort of developed upon it, and then kind of carved it out a little more for us. Do you know what I mean? He kind of made sense of the structures and cleaned away, like dusted off some of the our ideas and made them sort of more polished and refined. I think that's what he really did with some of our stuff.
So did you go to him with full demos ready to rock and then rely upon him for his ears more so than anything else?
Yeah, I guess to a degree. I mean, it was a new way of working for us because normally we'd done it, you know, all ourselves before, so it was quite nice to us to actually just have demos that were just kind of basic demos and then work with someone on kind of making them bigger or, you know, more embellished, I suppose.
What's it like to be in a hip-hop band?
It's great.
And do you feel like that they have embraced the spirit of being in a hip-hop band?
Certainly in the use of the samples, the way it's because I do the live yes. triggering of samples right. and sounds, and so I see all of the separate tracks. So, I mean, you know, this has been point of fun.
So can we change the name of the band to like LL Big Pink?
In all seriousness, I think I see no reason why not.
Because, you know, as I was listening to the new album, I thought, you know, the only word I can come up with is rubbish. Because it's kind of like, you're entitled, what you were saying, I'm not telling you what you were saying, but I imagine what you were saying was that you were talking about the spirit of the record and that you'd been listening to things that were, yeah, I mean, it's not like Domino's wasn't a rhythmic song. I mean, that's a dance song if I ever heard a dance song.
I mean, I take full responsibility for that statement. And it's got sensationalized by the NME, which is what they do, you know, and it's got taken out of, you know, there was a whole structured conversation before it, but that was the line that was kind of pulled out of it.
I mean, if you look at early hip hop records, like the real hip hop records, they were samples of, you know, taken from here and there, and that's what the tracks are built upon. In a way, that's what the Big Pink record is, because it is, a lot of the records start with samples, like there's Laurie Anderson sample with Superman, so in a way, it's more hip hop than some of the new hip hop records, which were all drum machine based. So
first they pilfer Laurie Anderson's "Oh Superman," and then you might as well blend a bag of kittens if it added to the chorus. I mean, and then they give it a 5, and you sit there and you go, "Okay, guys, you make your living being critics, but how can you possibly put a band on the front page, make your money off of them?" And if the reviewer honestly didn't like the track, but to turn around and say you pilfered "Oh Superman" is to say that, back to his point, that every great hip-hop record in the world, from African Bambaataa to, and again, I've played in clubs for years too, I mean, a great sample used properly is part of the genre. That's what you're doing. That's the whole point. If you didn't do it, you wouldn't be true to what you're... what your thinking was behind this record. NME.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You could go on a tirade against the NME, but it just wouldn't be worth it. I think, and it's that guy, that guy's written about us before, he doesn't like us, so.
Yeah. He's got the proper stick up his arse for some reason.
He's just a prick.
It's just a bit sad and it's a bit depressing. Lame. I mean, it's not even worth worrying about, really. Yeah.
When you come off a big festival, does all that other nonsense kind of just go away and you don't really give a shite?
Yeah, I think it's all about the live show, and it is that feeling, you know, that you know, we mean it and we're the real deal, and you know, and that, and we are passionate about what we do. We're not lying, we're not trying to pretend to be anything but what we are. So they can write whatever they like and they can say what they want, but when we come out on stage, that's we night after night we play as hard as we can and we nail it, and people get off on it, and that's all we can do. That they can say that we're this and that, but
I think we've always just had a better time in America. We played bigger, better shows, more interactive. It's just, yeah, we just have a much better time here.
So speaking of samples, Leek Lee, Nicki Minaj, that's a pretty nice thing, huh?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was like, it just came in. They, Cash Money Records, like, got in contact and they said they wanted to use our sample, and they said that Nicki Minaj was going to do it, and I was basically going to be doing the chorus and she was going to be doing the verses, and we just thought it was amazing. You know, the kind of, it made me feel like we were, you're transcending into a bigger area. We weren't just an indie band going into the hip-hop, getting a nod from the hip-hop world, I guess. And
so I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then I have 40 minutes to fill with anything else you want to play.